in to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 320 of the Self-Help Podcast. With me, Ed Lamb, and my good pal, Sean Orford. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm stunning and amazing and incredible. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm busy. Lots going on. Blimey. Just trying to... Everything comes at once, doesn't it, in life?
Yeah, we had a bit of a disaster yesterday. Because poor old Nanny Pam was out taking a lolly dog for a walk.
Oh, yeah.
And he was attacked by another dog.
Oh, no.
Who grabbed him by the throat.
Right.
And then Nanny Pam had to dive in to try and save the day, and she got bitten.
Oof.
And so the last night was sort of chaos, because Ollie was, the dog, was being operated on in the vets, in the theatre.
So the dog's being sorted, but Nanny Pam's lying in
Nanny Pam
had pool of blood in the corner.
She had to go to the emergency department.
To get checked out,
and she was worried that she might have broken something because she's coming on holiday with us, but it just turned out to be bad bruising and stuff.
Oh, right, but apart from that.
So, yeah, so the whole family's a bit, and poor old Pam is a bit shocked by it all, understandably.
I'll bet. But when someone asks how you are, you're just supposed to say, yeah, fine. You're not supposed to actually tell me how you are, what you're going
through. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Do you want the rest?
That's therapy rule number one, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm fine.
Fine. I'm dead on the inside, but I'm fine.
So, how are you?
I'm fine. yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I'm busy. We actually had our first rethink job. We've sent an invoice in from our new company.
Wow.
We did this Eco Schools Day in Portsmouth, like River Park, which is a cool place, actually. I've never been before.
Yeah.
It's a former landfill site.
Yeah.
And they've kind of repurposed it to be a nice little nature reserve. And anyway, a load of schools came to this event, and we had a stall for Rethink. And we worked with four groups of school kids about sustainable transport.
There's a surprise. I never would have thought.
Which is easy as ABC. Anything but car.
Oh gosh.
Do you like it? It's good fun. It's cool, man. The kids are switched on, man. They know.
The government, someone in the government has been banging the idea that we've got to be bikes and walk.
Mm-hmm.
It's become an official.
Well, people have been banging that drum for 30, 40 years. I'm involved with this stuff locally, and there's people that have been campaigning for since the 80s and all this stuff, so... I don't want to be that guy 40 years from now, you know, in my 60s, 70s, still banging the drum about cycling and walking. Oh, my word. Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it, to see how things do develop like that. You know, how will our love affair with the car come to an end?
Probably not, but I'm going to give it a good go. But it's good fun working with the kiddies, and it's exciting, man.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah, make a living enough, or like a tiny bit. Anyway...
We had one other bit of news.
Oh.
It happened yesterday. We have to say it out loud.
We haven't officially got a new Prime Minister, but we will do.
We will have today. Bojo.
Later today.
Bojo has got in.
Mr. Johnson, yeah. Unless the Queen. He has to get the Queen, doesn't need to get, like, tapped on the shoulder or
maybe
something.
Maybe she'd chop his head off, slip with the sword.
So she might, save us, but it was always going to happen, wasn't it? It was on the cards.
Yeah.
It's been on the cards for 3 years, really, since...
Yeah.
Since the vote, so let's get on with it.
He's an interesting chappy.
He is, yeah. He's another one that, I don't know, you could do with a good chat on a sofa with him, I'm sure. he's very, he's clever the way he talks, isn't he? But he deflects everything, and you get the sense that he's always trying to change the subject.
Yeah.
But why? You know, what's going on with him emotionally? We'll find out in the next few months. Like, what's going on, I guess.
Yeah.
We're talking about rites of passage today, aren't we? And I've got... emotional time for me at the moment because I've got kids. Will's left infant school, Jacob's left his preschool, and we'll start proper school soon. And so, all these little stages of life that we've been, you know, enthralled by, knee deep in for a few years are changing. Kids are growing up, and it's emotional stuff. So, we're going to talk about rites of passage, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing that's interesting about the kids is we tend to focus on the kids, but the parents are affected as much by children's changes as the kids are.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, yeah, we're going to be talking more about parents' reactions than the kids.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I get a lot of that in a therapy sense, you know, what we would call empty nest syndrome, which we'll have a look at. But it's like,
Okay, we'll get onto that in a sec. Livingthepresent.co.uk is our website, all the show notes and links, Sean's blog post there as well, all previous episodes. And if you sign up for the mailing list, you get a discount code for the book. You get some free meditation files and some other bits and bobs and weekly alerts for the show as well. Yep. So, yeah, no excuses to miss it. Miss it.
No.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, we're actually recording a whole batch of these, aren't we, to prepare for the summer holes, so thinking about what we can chat about. And I've had quite an emotional week, actually. I don't mind admitting it. I'm kind of not the type of guy that gets that upset about things very often.
You mean you're as dry as a stick?
As a kid, actually, I was really quite emotional. I'd cry all the time about stuff. Right. I'd lose sight of my mum and dad for a split second and I'd cry. I remember, actually, my first day at junior school getting really upset, and I remember leaving junior school and getting really upset about that next stage. But yeah, the last week or so we've had Jacob finished preschool, so he'll start infants in September. William, the infants and juniors are separate buildings, so it feels like he's finished school and he's moving up. He's going to be the same class, but it's, you know, a new building, new routine, you know, a bit more serious in terms of work, and he'll have more homework, blah blah blah. So yeah, it's quite emotional. So we had leavers assembly for him just this morning. We dropped him off for the last time at the infant school, so he won't see his teacher anymore. Well, same group of parents, but it'll just be everyone.
Yeah.
Different routine, and it feels like the end of an era. So yeah, you know, I wasn't weeping openly, but I was close a couple of times, and my wife is much more openly like emotional, so she's bawling her eyes out as quiet as she can.
There is a phenomenon that I've come across a few times when the last child goes to school, and very often the mother can say, "Do you think we need to have another one?"
Because
suddenly there's a vacuum, there's a hole there.
Yeah, I know. It's William and Jacob themselves, you know, completely not oblivious. Will's going up with his same group of mates to the next school, so he's just getting on with it. He's more excited, obviously, about the 6 weeks holiday that's coming up, summer holes. So the kids themselves are fine, you know, completely fine. It's the parents. And you can see, we had the leaves assembly on Monday in the school hall, so it's like, it's really hot at the moment, we should mention as well. It's like heat wave time. It's like 150 people crammed into this school hall to watch this leavers assembly thing. And a lot of people get really upset, you know, in the audience. It's cool. So how do we start to process this stuff? Because it feels like life's so busy as a parent, you know, through choice or just through design, that we don't give ourselves ample time to kind of see these things coming, even though we know, you know, years in advance, the last day of school will be this date. We don't do any preparation to kind of get ourselves ready for it, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So what, can we do anything?
Yeah, we can.
So go ahead, what do we do?
I think that one of the most important things for everybody in every situation is to retain your sense of self. And what happens is, it happens in couples sometimes, that people lose who they are in the relationship. And in families, it's dead easy to do that, especially for the mother. And the amount of times you get mums who the children have all gone or whatever, and then they lose the focus of they don't know who they are anymore.
Yeah.
You know, who the hell am I?
Yeah.
Because what we do, and this is a good exercise for anyone that's listening to this, if you write down a description of who you are, when you read it back, it usually looks like a set of roles that you play.
Mm.
So if you can no longer play those roles, does that mean you no longer exist?
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing. So at different times we go through those changes, and the answers to the question "Who am I?" will change. Yeah, and that's happening for the kids as well. And we tend to focus it on the kids, but it is happening to the parents.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess whatever our roles are in life, whether you're a parent or not, if something was taken away from us as part of our routine, instantly we'd all struggle to come to terms with it. Like, I don't know if you if you decide, well, let's say you actually retired, which you probably, you should do.
I've actually signed the form to my NHS retirement.
Okay, all right. So you've got some big changes coming, which you're looking forward to. But
yeah, it means that I'll be doing probably 30 hours a week rather than 60. You know what I mean?
So what are you going to do to fill that time? Because I guess one of the problems is we look for another thing to fill our time with when maybe we should be spending a bit more time
with ourselves.
That's
one of my things, is I want to have a bit of space.
Are you ready to be with yourself? Do you know what you're like?
Yeah, I'm amazing. I sit by the mirror and I go, wow.
You're looking forward to it then?
Yeah, I want to do some meditation. I want to do some more yoga, it's like life's been so crazy. I mean, I was up at 4 o'clock this morning to go online.
Is it still thunder and lightning then?
I know, it's stopped by then, but I've been kept awake most of the night by the thunder and lightning. But that sense about me rediscovering myself, because I've spent the last 5 years doing a lot of doing rather than being.
Yeah.
And I could really do with some being, not doing.
Being, not doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. And not least of all, I want to get out on my bike.
Hey.
Very topical. I want to be able to have the time. You know, because when you're running from one place to another, sometimes you can't bike because you've got to get there at the time the clock's running.
Yep. That's part of the rethink ethos. Ethos, actually, it's not just about getting everyone out of cars. When you start to explore the issue more, it's about taking the pressure off people to be in a rush everywhere. You know, and part of car culture is that they have allowed us cars to get places all over the. You know, through a day you can be in 4 or 5 places around. You know, and that's not healthy. You know, it's not healthy for many reasons, not least ourselves, because it puts a lot of pressure on. You know.
But that whole sense about the change of the answer to the question, who am I? When I leave the NHS, I in my head, I leave my status as a consultant in the NHS. Do you know what I mean? I do other things in other organisations, but it's like having the kudos of being a consultant in the NHS has been very useful to me.
Yeah.
You know, throughout my careers.
And status, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Doctor? You doctor?
I'm afraid I do have a...
Yes. I mean, you've got loads of letters before and after your name.
Yeah.
So are you going to... I mean, I guess this is focused on kids leaving and moving out. But retirement is another form of... kind of loss for a person, isn't it? Obviously, we all look forward to, well, not all of us, a lot of people look forward to retirement and are counting down the days, but when we get to that point and we say goodbye to our former selves, as well as our colleagues and our little routines, we're kind of left with, a lot of people don't prepare for that day, do they?
No, and for lots of people, it's a shock. And I've dealt with loads of people that retired early in their 50s, 50, 55, by the time they get to 70, are in a real mess. They've run out of things to do. They've lost any sense of self because they're not identifying themselves through roles because they don't play any roles.
Right.
And people tipping into depression in their 70s because they've had too much money and too much free time.
Mm.
And there is a lot of evidence that would suggest that maybe retirement isn't a good thing. That doesn't mean to say that you shouldn't do less. But to actually stop having a role to play in life is quite tough for most people.
Yep. Mm. It's fascinating stuff, isn't it? There's an article I'm going to link to in The Guardian about for parents and how to cope when your children leave home. And it talks a lot about the sense of grief that can overcome you at that point.
Yeah, bereavement, yeah. Loss.
And so I think back to when I... went to university, and I remember my mum and dad driving me up to Newcastle and putting me in this little prison cell stroke, apartment.
Student accommodation
that I lived in for the first year. Yeah. Have you seen the student accommodation now that goes up the new stuff? It's incredible.
And luxurious.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like mine was a proper little prison cell with...
But if you're paying $9,000 a year for a course, you ought to live in a 5-star hotel.
I just got my student loan statement through, and I, because I'm the way I'm structure my salary, because I'm self-employed and dividends and all that stuff, I actually haven't paid off any of my student loan. still set at 14 grand from 15 years ago, but apparently it's nothing to concern myself about and low interest, and I don't even know when it gets wiped out. We won't talk about that.
I'm going to let them know.
I remember that day, and I remember my mum being quite upset, even though, well, I guess for her, she had, and the eldest, so she had two other kids to go back to, my brother and sister, who were, actually, no, my brother went to university the same year, because I went to art college for a year, so we kind of ended up going to uni within a week of each other, so our house went from a thriving, big, but busy and full house of five to three people overnight, which was quite a shock. And it does, this article talks about the sense of grief and how there's actually a quote that says, because having a child leave home to go to uni in particular is regarded as a measure of success, you know, a sign that you've prepared them for the world. The downsides are not adequately acknowledged. Parents are told dismissively to book up, to get a hobby or a cat and start seeing friends more. But
why a cat? Surely you'd get a dog.
Cats just go off, don't they? And they just don't do anything.
Yeah, I would think you'd get a dog. But anyway,
that's what it says. It's obviously a cat person who wrote this. But empty nest syndrome can be hard to cope with. We have these kind of things in life that we aim for. School, uni, job, moving out. But we don't prepare ourselves for the repercussions, do we?
No. No, and that can be really difficult, I think, that it's the shock. You get it when, this sounds crazy, the ultimate rite of passage when people are dying, because people's attitude is, well, I never really thought this would happen to me, kind of thing, you know. And it's only when you're actually going through it that you start to realise, this is true for me as well as for other people.
Yeah.
You know? And the thing is that we're all going to die. We're all going to retire. We're all going to, most of us anyway, are going to reproduce, have kids, have families, and they're going to pass on their journey, aren't they?
Yeah.
Now, there are people that I have to work with whose children have died, and they've died before them. And that seems to be kind of outrageously unfair, because it's not supposed to happen that way around, is it? You're supposed to be there, and your kids are supposed to be seeing you off in a box, not you seeing them off in a box.
That's the heavy stuff, that, isn't it? Flipping heck. Yeah. Cannot even compute that stuff, really. And we also got the issue, it's not an issue, it's kind of a trend, shall we say, that kids are leaving home later and later in life.
Yeah.
What did you say before we came on?
We now have the 31 is considered to be the new 21. And that's primarily because kids can't actually afford to leave home because they can't afford to buy a house, whereas they could save up something and be leaving home in their 20s. Now they've got to save up that much more, so they tend to be leaving in their early 30s.
Yeah.
You know, at the other end, though, you have to look at it, I guess, that we're living longer, and that retirement ages are pushing out. They're talking about expected retirement ages hitting 74, 75.
Yep.
Yeah, not that far away.
I know.
I mean, your lads will be looking at that kind of retirement time.
Well, I hope so, you know. We've got some environmental stuff that I know I keep banging on about, which is going to
completely... No, you don't.
I'm going to keep talking about it. It's going to completely, throw the world into chaos if we don't get our heads around it. But, yeah, I mean, my grandma is 90... She's 90 in a few weeks, actually.
Yeah.
She lives on her own. She can still drive. It's getting to that point where she probably won't for much longer. But yeah, should she be moving back in with her daughter now with my mum and dad? Sorry, Dad, if you listen to this. But there are countries, and there's Germany, where the grandparents move back in at a certain time or age, or they have a little, they live very close by at least. As the kind of the family comes back together, maybe families should all live together anyway. You know.
But that was the way it always was. And when I was a kid, you had extended families. They weren't necessarily in the same house. but everybody lived in the streets around.
Yeah.
So there was always like an auntie over there and a cousin over here, and everybody lived close to each other.
Yeah.
You know, and there was mutual support in that. And one of the things in terms of rites of passage is that very often people feel isolated when the world changes. And it's because we don't have those communities, those kind of family communities to talk to. Whereas when we had extended families, people got informal stress management from everybody else in the family.
Yeah.
By just being able to go and chat to someone over a cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the chances are that the older people in the family would have experienced what you're going through, so they've got wisdom as well as experience.
Yeah.
You know? And that whole thing that I bang on about we've traded wisdom for knowledge. You know, it's like we don't go to the older people and say, you know, how did this work for you? We Google it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we get the knowledge, but we miss the wisdom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Fascinating stuff, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, your experiences of moving out of home and leaving flying the nest were a bit different and slightly unique, I would say. That you couldn't get out fast enough.
Yeah, well, I was 15 on the February the 19th. I got a job and started on August the 8th, and I left home on something like September the 2nd, September the 3rd, something like that.
Yeah.
Best thing I ever did, really.
Turned around, took you a while, but you got
there anyway, didn't you? Yeah. I think if I'd stayed there, I would something inside me would have died, I think. You know, but having got out, though it was tough getting out, it did keep that inner me alive, I think. So,
yeah. Really. I'd love to chat to teenage Sean, man. I wonder what he was like.
Hey, man, come on.
I wonder what you would have made me.
Yeah.
I'm sure we would have got on like House on Fire.
Yeah.
Were you an inquisitive soul back then?
Oh, completely.
You weren't?
Completely. Yeah. I've always been that kind of nosy, inquisitive, curious kind of person.
Mm.
And it's like, Robert sometimes says to me, you're like a walking Google. How come you know this stuff? How do I know? Because I see something that's kind of interesting, you know, and then I go and check it out, you know. And then I have those kind of realisations, like that thing I had the other day about being bigwigs and then realising what it meant, and I've been using it. Did I tell you that?
No.
Now, I was working with the barrister, and he was talking about the bigwig. And the bigwig is the judge, because he has that big wig, high court judge.
Yeah, the bigger one.
Massive big, yeah. Whereas if you're a little barrister, you've only got a small wig.
The little one on top. That's where bigwig comes from.
And it never occurred to me that's what we use these words all the time, and then we don't realise what we're saying.
Yeah, yeah, fascinating. I've been diving deep into the world of Tolkien recently.
Right.
My Lord of the Rings obsession, which has come through. We're actually reading the book, but
yeah.
Tolkien was like a language expert.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the way he uses a lot of Welsh words.
Yeah.
And moves those into...
It's incredible, man. Yeah. I mean, not just his knowledge of language, but what he then did with it to create this whole other world. But, you know, Middle Earth feels like it's not a fantasy story, it's real. It's like this alternate universe. It's just incredible. I don't know how people like that. I mean, I do know, because it just took time. It took nearly 20 years to write Lord of the Rings.
But if you think about the human parable, which is retold over and over again, whether it's Harry Potter, whether it's that, whether it's the Narnia stories, there's always the dark and the light, the good and the evil, and how in the end the light wins out over the dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. And usually there is a death and a rebirth. So that happens with Aslan and Narnia. It happens with Harry Potter.
Mm.
You know, you go through those phases. It is that kind of biblical parable that's told over and over again.
Yeah, just mind-blowing, man, the amount of work that went into that. Cool, so cool. What are we going to sum up with? Have you got a resource of the week? Or?
Yeah, well, my resource is...
Scroll down,
you go.
Season one.
Yeah, it is a link to an article that's all about empty nest syndrome.
Cool.
And how that affects us. Yeah.
I'll link to my The Guardian article as well, which is really cool. And it contains part of a poem by Cecil Day Lewis called Walking Away, which he wrote when he kind of had this experience of his child growing up and either going to school or leaving school. But part of one line is, selfhood begins with walking away, and love is proved in the letting go.
Yeah.
Because we've got to let go at some point.
There's an interesting... Have you ever come across Khalil Gibran? He wrote. It was like a poet, and he wrote something called The Prophet. And there and there's a, it, it was a big thing, 60s and 70s, but it was people would quote from it all the time. But there was this quote that always stuck with me. He was talking about when you're in relationships, you shouldn't lean on each other. You shouldn't be that close that you push another person. And the phrase that he used was, you have to be separate enough, just enough, to allow the winds of heaven to dance between you, is the phrase he used, which is quite profound.
Nice.
But that idea that whether we're in relationships with another person or in family relationships, we need to be independent enough to allow those winds of heaven to dance between all those relationships, so that when those relationships go, we don't end up bereft and bereaved.
Wow. Just come to me then, another Lord of the Rings thing, right? So, you know, spoiler alert, if you haven't read the book or seen the movies, at the end of Lord of the Rings, the whole story, Frodo leaves Middle-earth to go to the Grey Havens with Gandalf.
Yeah.
But he doesn't tell Sam, Pippin and Merry until, because they're waving Gandalf off, and then Frodo says, I'm going to.
Mm.
And obviously his pal hobbits are like distraught and saying goodbye.
Yeah.
But Gandalf turns to them and says, I will not say, do not weep, for not all tears are an evil.
Yeah.
Beautiful, man. It's
just,
it's all right to let it go in it sometimes. So, Gandalf's man, he knew.
You are allowed to cry, Ed.
Okay. Lord of the Rings, amazing.
Yeah.
Cool. I enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
Let's get another one done right after this, eh?
Hang loose and be cool.
Have a good week.
And you.
I'll see you next week, Sean.
Okay.
Okay.
Time traveling again.
See you later.
Yeah. Bye.